We're certainly glad that you're here this morning, especially on this warm last Sunday of November. Four more Sundays in this year, and then this year will be over. And certainly we appreciate you coming out and being with us. For those visiting with us, as we normally have on Sunday, we're certainly happy that you're here, and we hope that you'll linger for a little bit after the services. I remember the Sanders, they were here last week, and about half the people didn't even get the chance to speak to them because they got out so quickly. So we hope that's not the case with you today, that you'll linger for a little bit afterwards. And for those that are old friends, we can renew old acquaintances. And for those that haven't been here before, certainly we're happy that you're here and would love to speak to you. In Ecclesiastes, and in chapter 2, and in verses 18 through 23, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 18 through 23. It says, "Then I hated all my labor in which I toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to a man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled, in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Therefore I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor in which I toiled under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is with wisdom and knowledge and skill. Yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what has man for all his labor, and for striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun? For all his days are sorrowful, and his work burdensome, even in his heart, even in the night, his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity." You don't know who you're going to leave it to. Or maybe you do know who you're going to leave it to and what they're going to do with it. They might treat it as wise. They might treat it as a fool. In Joshua chapter 23, and in verse 14, we see Joshua 24, we usually talk about in verse 14 and 15, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But in chapter 23 and in verse 14, Joshua says, "Now behold, today I'm going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and on all your souls, that not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. All have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed." I'm going to go the way of all the earth. Death is part of the cycle of life. He says over in Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 27, "It's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment." So death is an appointment. It's something that all of us have in common. Maybe we see a picture such as this, In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and then verse 7 it says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out." Although people have tried, it just didn't work out. Just didn't work out for them. In Luke and in chapter 12 and in verse 20. Luke chapter 12 and in verse 20. It says Luke chapter 12 verse 20. "But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared?'" So I understand that I can't take it with me. So what I do is I sit down. Maybe right out of the wheel. I guess that's still valid in Kentucky. Was several years ago. Or you meet with an attorney and you start to write out your last will testament. And many people have already done this. The inheritance. The inheritance for most people may be compared to a Bill Gates or a Warren Buffett or a Carlos Slim. Our inheritance normally are very meager compared to maybe men like that. But as I was thinking this past week, especially Thanksgiving Day, and as I noticed what was occurring Thanksgiving Day as I was sitting around the table, that around my table were a lot of young faces. In fact, my face was the oldest face. You regard it as the patriarch. Norman has been passed that task over the past few months. But now he is the patriarch of his family. Charlie Taylor, several years ago, was passed that down to him. As he sits around his table now, he is the patriarch of his family. And one day, if you live long enough, if God blesses you long enough, you're going to be the patriarch of your family. And as I was sitting there, certain things happened. They told us, well, I already knew. I knew several weeks ago that we were going to have a grandson. So they surprised Lynn and told her that she was going to have a grandson. And over the last few weeks, we've been gathering things together, different baby furniture that we've had now for some 26, 27 years. And now we're passing that to Logan and Grace. But as we think about this morning, what do we hope to leave our children? In fact, what my will not say that I'm going to leave to my children. A lot of things that people list in a will. I can remember, well,
signed, witnessed many wills in my lifetime, and some are just wild. I mean, they list everything. 900, the number 904, the saran wrap that's up in the cabinet I leave to, you know, whoever. And some are just crazy.
But what about what my will not say? That I'm going to leave to my children and you're going to leave to your children. One thing is that I want my children to know that they were loved sincerely and unconditionally. I want to leave them a knowledge of that memory. That's not going to be in my will. And likely, that's not going to be in your will. Love is a four-letter word that has lost its meaning within our culture. We love sports teams. We love our car. We love the game, maybe yesterday, if it worked out for you. Well, the Greeks, as we know, they had different words for love. We talk about in services many times. You hear within your church services, maybe somebody getting up and talking about agape love, or more probably proper, agapeo love, or eros, or phileo. But there's another word they had, the Greeks had, and that was a word, storge. You would spell it in our English language as the word storage. But storge. And storge was a natural affection that should exist between a parent and a child. Storge, that type of love. The Apostle Paul writes concerning this about the opposite effect of this in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1 and in verse 31, it says, without understanding, untrustworthy. And then he says, unloving. Some of your older versions say, without natural affection. Without natural affection. That is something that's rampant in our society today, without natural affection. Maybe you saw it this morning, a child locked in a room in his father's home, been taken away from his mother. Somebody without natural affection. I don't know how many times you see over the course of a year in the Courier Journal or the paper that you receive about somebody that has been guilty of shaken baby syndrome. Just don't treat a baby like that. That's without natural affection. Paul's going to go over and talk to Timothy about this as well, about this idea about without natural affection. But a parent and a child should be a very loving relationship. And one of the first things that's not going to be in my will that I want my children to remember, and you should want your children to remember as well, is that they were loved sincerely and unconditionally. Also, we want them to see that their father and their mother loved each other deeply. Children need to be in families to where mom and dad love each other. Your mother respects your father. Or that evil word, submit. Your mother submits to your father. And the father loves his wife. The children see that your father loves your mother as Christ loved the church. I want them to see that. I want them to remember that in their life. That's something that's not going to be listed in my will. But I want them to see that. And to have a memory of that. That they loved each other deeply. I want them to know that my children were not my best friend. And I was their best friend, but I was their parent. And we have too many people today trying to act like teenagers along with their kids instead of trying to parent their children. And I don't want to leave a memory when things got tough. Because in a marriage, there are times where things do get tough. Then mom or dad walked away. I don't want to leave my children with a memory of hatred. That you're the most ridiculous child I've ever seen in my life. How dumb are you? How stupid are you? What's wrong with you? Don't want to leave that to my child. I don't want to leave bitterness to my child. But I want to show them how much their mother and father loved each other. I hope to leave to my children an example of developing a spirit of reverence and how important that is. In 1 Peter and in chapter 1 and in verse 17, it says, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in, he says, fear. Or conduct yourself with reverence is the idea. Same idea is Matthew 6 verse 33, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Or in Colossians chapter 1 and in verses 1 and 2, Colossians 1 and in verses 1 and 2. Or really in chapter 2, or chapter 1, verse 3, we give thanks to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you had for all the saints. What do you want to leave them? You want to leave them a love for righteousness and a love for godliness. Something that's not going to be in my will. The value of living by the golden rule. In Matthew and in chapter 7 and in verse 12, where we find this writing as we have transferred that to a popular saying, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. He says in chapter 7 and in verse 12, in everything therefore treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Think of the value. Think of the value that your family have. So many times today, we come up with the idea, instead of living by the golden rule, we say, well, whoever has the gold makes the rules. And we don't treat each other with kindness. Hopefully you'll leave to your children a memory that your mom and dad treated each other with kindness. That you, as a child, were treated with kindness as well. And that everybody you all came in contact with was treated with kindness. What I want to leave to my children that's not going to be in my will. An example of practicing Christian hospitality. In Romans chapter 12 and in verse 19. Romans chapter 12 and in verse 19. Never take your own revenge, beloved. Verse 13, excuse me. Romans 12, verse 13. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. What are my children going to see? What are they going to remember? Are they going to remember that was my home, my wife's home, were always open to our friends, always open to their friends? Did they see us as hospitable when people were in need in various ways? I say it very happily that over the last 20 years, for the college students here, I have bought between 2,000 and 3,000 meals for these college students. And I want my family to see that. Have you practiced hospitality? Is that going to be a memory? Is that going to be a memory for your children? That they saw you practice hospitality. It's not going to be in my will. Or that home was a place of refuge and safety. He says over in Psalm chapter 104. Psalm 104 and in verse 18. Psalm 104 and in verse 18, the high mountains are for the wild goats, and the cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. In this world today, to where our children have to go through so many hard things throughout their lives, can they go home to a place that is a place of safety and refuge? To where you can just put your arm around your son or your daughter after they've had just a rough day and say that everything is going to be all right. That's not going to be in my will. But hopefully that's going to be a memory for my child. And then one other thing. And that is the knowledge that mom and dad did the very best that they could. They got the very best that their mother and father could do. I want to leave them with the knowledge that they were blessed and they were a blessing to us. And although we're still a work in progress, we're all still a work in progress. What we might be able to do for this next generation and for the memory that we're going to create with them. Those are things that are not going to be in my will. But those are things that I want my children to remember. And maybe your children as well. We would encourage you this morning that if you need to respond to the truth by being obedient to Christ, coming to Him in baptism, or for those that need to come back to their first love, repent of their sins, whatever your need might be, I invite you to come right now while together we stand and we sing.